friendship, and we happen to be pastors. And they've been over our house eating several times, been over their house eating several times. He has a pool. I don't, so I need to get onto that more. And but we love you guys, and y'all are a blessing to Susan. Now, Susan, we had, for those that didn't hear, my daughter got married last night on our property. We had 115 people in our backyard. Tent, lights, sound system. I went to bed about 12:15 and got up at 6 and started putting. So she's like at home dead. So she said to extend her.
Oh, I understand.
Her condolences or whatever you call it. What'd you say?
Greetings.
Yeah, there you go. It's better than condolences.
Greetings
like
are better.
Die or something. But yeah. Y'all just give him a clap off for it as he comes over.
Oh, thank you. Check. Woo, we have power. Thank you. It is always so much fun to be here. And I just honor you, Pastor Craig, and honor the house and honor what the Lord is doing here. And so glad just to be connected with you guys, because I know that we are just divinely connected together. And, man, wow. As I was praying into the service, I've been thinking about, you know, the direction that the Lord wanted to for me to go in, because my problem is not that I don't have a word. My problem is I got a lot of words. And it's like, okay, so I lay out all of the different things here, and I think I had about 10 different words, and then narrowed it down to 2. And so then I had it down to A or B or A and 1 or however you want to. I had it to 2. And so during worship, Holy Spirit says, "What about the third option?" And I'm like, I didn't know that there was a third option. What if we need to scratch your 2 that you thought and then just go with this? And I'm like, okay, let's go that direction then. And so, wow, it's just the intensity, the awareness of the presence of the Lord is just increasing immensely. And what we do is when we honor the presence of the Lord, what we honor is multiplied. So when we honor the presence of the Lord and just acknowledge when, you know, through your day-to-day interactions, through our interactions throughout the week, there are often times that we become aware of the presence of the Lord. And it's not like God shows up and then he's not showing up, and he shows up and he's not there and he's there and he's not there. He's always there. But the problem is most of the time our awareness of his presence is sporadic. There are just times that we're more aware that he's there than others. And so to live in this place of this constant communion with him, to where we are always aware of his presence, is living in honor of his presence. And so what happens is that I'm telling you, practice this and see what begins to happen through the week. When you become aware of his presence while you're driving down the road, while you're having lunch, while you're in the drive-through line or wherever you are, and you become aware of his presence, just stop and say, "Lord, I thank you for your presence. I honor you. I honor your presence." And what you'll see is what you begin to honor will start multiplying in your life. You honor the presence of the Lord. We find this principle all through the Bible. He says, "Honor the Lord with your substance. Then your barns and your vats begin to overflow. Honor your father and mother. Your days multiplied on the earth." Honor is the multiplier of your life. Take an inventory. Whatever is missing, whatever is lacking, whatever there is a deficit in your life, begin to honor the Lord in that area and see how you begin to put a spiritual law into motion that begins to multiply the thing that was lacking or the thing that was missing or the thing that was in shortage. But the main thing is, I think, just become When you become aware, when we become aware of His presence, just instantly, just go into, Lord, I honor You. I thank You for the awareness of Your presence. And see, when you begin to feel, when you begin to sense, and you become aware of His presence almost becomes a portal for you. And I'm going to use some terms that you may be uncomfortable with, but I don't think you are. His presence actually becomes a portal for you. And so in the Old Testament and the New Testament, we see that it describes people going up into the presence of the Lord. And then we see every time, if you will look at in the Old Testament models, they went up and then they went in. They went up and then they went in. See, when we start becoming aware of His presence and acknowledging His presence, realizing, okay, this is an opportunity for me to go up and to see and live from a higher perspective and to begin to engage His thoughts, to begin to receive the mind of Christ. I'm going up and I'm going in and I'm going through the door, which is Jesus Christ. And by Him, I go in. According to John chapter number 10, verse number 9, I go in and I find pasture. We are referred to as the sheep of His pasture. Sheep are the stupidest animals on the planet. And He says, you are my sheep. And the thing about sheep is sheep have to have a shepherd. And so he says, by Him, John chapter 10, verse number 9, we go in and find pasture. The greatest lottery for a sheep is to find a pasture to graze in and to know that He's prepared a table before us in the presence of our enemies. And so He's inviting us to feed and feast on Him. He is what we feed and feast on. He said, my words are spirit and my words are life. We see the different dimensions of the realms of the spirit all through the scripture. In the book of Revelation chapter number 4, John says, I heard a voice that was calling to me. And he says, I turned around to see the voice. Many prophets are saying right now and have been saying for the past year or so that the body of Christ is in this transitional time. Welcome, Westside Church of God. Come on in. Come on, Worship Center. We love you guys. Many prophetic folks are saying and declaring and have been declaring that we are in this transitional time, that we're in this transitional season. And all of us have heard these words over and over and over again. And the problem is many are saying we are in a transition in the body of Christ, but I haven't heard anybody define what that transition looks like, what we are coming out of and what we are going into. And it's real easy to be generic when we are giving prophetic words, and you can be accurate and you can be generic. And actually, you're probably going to be more accurate the more generic that you are. But I think that God is taking us to a place in the body of Christ where He wants us to not only be accurate, but He wants us to be specific in seeing what His heart is for the body and for the bride and where we are, what we are transitioning from and what we are transitioning into. And so the first step of becoming aware of what we are transitioning from and what we are transitioning into is, number one, is when we acknowledge His presence, when we sense His presence, when we feel His presence, we are aware of His presence. We just simply stop and acknowledge, Father, I thank You for Your presence. I thank You that right now that I am aware. I know that You're everywhere at every time, but specifically right here, right now, I sense you. I am aware of you. And I honor you for the awareness of your presence that I have. The awareness of the presence of God is the first level into stepping into operating in the gift of discernment. The gift of discernment is probably the greatest need in the body of Christ today, simply because we see that in the end of days that he said, if it were possible, even the elect would be deceived, right? So if it's possible that the elect would be deceived, that means it's possible that any of us could be deceived. So as we become, first of all, aware that we are aware of his presence is essential. And then we begin to honor the awareness that we have of his presence, because what we're aware of, what we begin to honor, begins to multiply. In the book of Revelation, we see the different dimensions of the Spirit and how that we as the body of Christ, the sons of God, the bride of Christ, can begin to operate in different realms and different dimensions of the Spirit of the Lord, because we're called to walk in the Spirit. We're called to live in the Spirit. He said if we walk in the Spirit, we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And walking in the Spirit may seem creepy or spooky or abstract or many different things to many different people, but really it's part of the Christian life, walking in the Spirit, learning to walk in the Spirit, learning to live in the Spirit. John in the book of Revelation chapter number 1 said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I was in the Spirit in the Lord's on the Lord's day. If we were to take a poll and ask 100 different Christians, what does it mean to you to be in the Spirit? How do you specifically get in the Spirit? I'm sure that we would be surprised at the different answers that we would get in this. I'm sure the answers would be all over the board. But it shouldn't be like that. As believers, as sons and daughters of God, we should know what exactly it means to walk in the Spirit, to live in the Spirit, and how to be in the Spirit, and how to transition from the natural to the Spirit, from the Spirit to the natural, and do it practically without being weird about it.
Amen.
And I said all of that, and I said without being weird about it, and a lot of people think, well, that's weird. And for I think 3 months now at Northwest, one of the things that we've just been hammering is it's about to get weird. It's about to get more weird. And so as we see, as it comes closer to the end of days and so forth, there is such an outpouring. It says in Acts chapter number 2, and I will get back to Revelation chapter number 1 in just a moment, but it says in Acts chapter number 2, the earmarks of the end time outpouring of the Spirit of God on all flesh is earmarked by 4 specific things. Sons and daughters prophesy. Young men have visions. Old men dream dreams. And handmaidens and hand servants prophesy. So it starts with prophecy. It ends with prophecy. Sandwiched in the middle are dreams and visions. And so the end time outpouring Spirit of God, we see what the earmarks of that looks like when the Spirit is poured out on all flesh. In other words, there is a spiritual awakening on all flesh, not just the body of Christ, but all flesh. Somebody say all. It's all flesh that Spirit is poured out on in the end days, according to Acts chapter number 2. And Peter said that on the day of Pentecost, and he was just quoting what Joel said in Joel chapter number 2 and chapter number 3, which was said a couple of thousand years before Peter said it. Now, 2,000 years later, after Peter said it, we're still saying in the last days God is going to pour out what? Spirit, a spiritual awareness upon all flesh. But what happens, and he says, with all flesh, sons and daughters, his sons and daughters, his sons and daughters begin to prophesy. Old men, period, begin to dream. Young men Have vision. Why is it important that old men begin to dream again? Because many old men, and I mean, there's no old men in this group, have lost the dream that God initially placed inside of their heart. And it's this end time outpouring of the Spirit on all flesh revitalizes and brings back the dream that He originally placed inside. Why is it important to see that young men will have visions? Because it's important to know that vision, if it doesn't come from heaven, can be distorted. And if we let media give us the vision for our life, and if we let media do that, if we let corporations do that, if we let business do that, if we let entertainment do that, if we let religion do that, then it can be just so distorted. But when young men have a vision from the Lord, that they know this came from the Lord, and I'm going to walk this out for my life. I'm going to walk out what God has placed inside. No matter what obstacle comes up, they have the ability to walk through every circumstance that opposes it, because they know this is what God told me to do, and I have to walk through hell to do it. If I have to transform a wilderness into an oasis, that's what I'm going to do. And many people are talking about, I'm in a wilderness season. I'm going to, you know, understand, what's the purpose of a wilderness? God led the people of Israel through the wilderness into the promised land, but it was never His intention for them to stay in the wilderness for 40 years. And many of us have been in wilderness scenarios waiting for God to bring us out of the wilderness and into the promised land. But Isaiah 35 tells us the purpose of the wilderness. When God brings us into the wilderness, it's because as sons and daughters of God, we supposed to go into wilderness scenarios and transform the wilderness and turn that into an oasis. So instead of complaining about wilderness and night seasons, what we really need to be doing is arising as manifested sons and daughters of God and saying, I'm here. He has brought me into this place to transform this city, this region, this family, this nation, whatever sphere of influence that I'm in. I am in here to make a difference as a son, as a daughter of God. So what does it mean to walk into the Spirit, and why is it important to walk in the Spirit? Sean asked that question a couple of Wednesday nights ago as we was having fun on Wednesday night and going into this, because we've been deep diving into walking in the Spirit on Wednesday night since probably January. And he says, so what's the significance? Why do we need to learn how to walk in the Spirit and understand the reality of the spirit realm? And without hesitation, this answer rose up on the inside of me. I think it's because of experience. There are things that you can learn in the Spirit walking with the Lord that you could not learn in 1,000 lifetimes in the natural realm. There is an acceleration that takes place when you choose to walk in the Spirit with the Lord, that where you receive divine insight and divine downloads that you couldn't learn, like I said, in 1,000 lifetimes. So John says, I was in the Spirit, Revelation chapter number 1. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He says, I was in the Spirit. So the question is how do you get in the Spirit? What does that mean to you? And by the time we get to chapter number 4, he says, I heard a voice saying, come up here, because there's things I want to show you. And he says, I turned to see the voice. Now, I'd mentioned earlier, many prophets are prophesying and have been prophesying about the transitional season that the body of Christ is in. I want to help define and clarify what that looks like. Prophets and prophetic people, well, not just limited to prophets and prophetic people, but all of us have the capacity to hear the voice of the Lord. We could have never even got saved if we didn't hear the voice of Holy Spirit. Can we agree upon that? It was the Spirit that drew us, and we heard the Spirit of the Lord drawing us into this relationship. Part of the transition that we're going through is the Revelation chapter number 4 experience, where we're transitioning from hearing the voice to seeing what He wants to reveal. So John says, I heard a voice and I turned to see. If we are going to make this transition from hearing the voice to turning to see, it's going to require us to turn away from things that we are used to, things that are comfortable to us. It's like Moses when he was on Mount Sinai, or he was on the mountain. I'm not sure what mountain it was. Perhaps it was Sinai, but he was on the mountain in the wilderness. And as he was on the mountain in the wilderness, he turns around. He sees this fire that's consuming this bush. And he looks and he notices it's not consumed, but it just keeps burning and it keeps burning. And he realizes this thing is not consumed. I thought it would be consumed because there's fire here. And now it's not. But it says that in his day-to-day routine, he had to make a decision. He turned aside to see. He went in. And so that brings me back to my first point that we started with. When we become aware of the presence of the Lord and we just stop and acknowledge, Father, I thank you for the awareness of your presence. What you're doing is actually you are turning aside to see what He has to show you and to reveal to you in that next phase, in that next moment. So it says that, first of all, Revelation 1, he's in the Spirit, Revelation chapter number 4, and then he hears a voice that says, come up here. So he's already in the Spirit, he's walking with Jesus, but he hears a voice that says, come up here. What is greater than walking in the Spirit with the Lord Jesus? I'll tell you what is. When he says, now, okay, we're walking here, but now let's go up higher. See, because there are realms, there are dimensions in the realm of the Spirit. It's not just like you step out of the natural into the Spirit, and that's it. There are realms, there are dimensions. And he heard the voice, and he came up higher. He turned to see. And I think three more times in the book of Revelation, he gets that same call. Let's go up again. Let's go higher again. Let's go in here. Let's go in here. Whew, help me, Holy Spirit. There is a place in Him that we begin to explore. Paul described it like this in Acts 17. In Him I live. In Him I move. In Him I have my existence. I have my being. So when we learn to live in Him, we then learn how to move in Him. Then we learn how to have our complete existence in the resurrected Jesus Christ. I have meditated on that for hours. What does it mean to live in the Lord Jesus Christ? What does it look like to move in Him? What does it look like to have my very existence? Because that's where my identity is solidified in none other than Jesus Christ. Like Pastor Craig said earlier, if our identity is in what we do, what we've done, if it's in anything other than Jesus Christ, we're headed for a quick, quick fall. When I first started pastoring at Northwest, I was so young. I had lots of hair. I was in my early 20s. And right out of the gate, man, church just takes off and it's exploding. It's growing. We build a new facility. And I didn't really realize how much that I had tied up my identity in what I did as a pastor instead of having my identity in Christ. And I didn't realize that until what used to work wasn't working anymore. And in case you haven't been to that place yet, let me tell you how to get there. Let me tell you how to get out of that place. Let me just tell you how to get out. I think we all know how to get in that place, right? And so when things went haywire and we had a three-way split, I had a three-way. It's cool. I wouldn't recommend it. It wasn't cool at the moment, but it worked an exceeding great joy afterwards. one of the most painful moments and times of my life. And I'm laying on the floor and I'm crying out to God. I'm like, I did what you told me to do. I'm here praying. I'm here on the floor. I'm here, you start telling God everything that you're doing. And you're trying to qualify and justify your stuff like he don't know. And I'm just kind of reminding him of why I need to be justified and vindicated here. And he just stopped me in the middle of it. And he said, my vindication is going to come in your life by the continual manifested blessing on your life. Not proving to everybody else that you were right and they were wrong. I wanted to know that I was right and they were wrong. And I wanted them to know that. And the Lord had option B that I was unaware of, that was, what if your vindication looks like this? My blessing manifested in your life, in every area of your life. I said, I'll take that. And so then I started into business. And right out of the gate, our plastic business just shot off. It skyrocketed. Had a guy at work, a guy at church who had a plastic business, and he said, "Hey, would you like to work in plastics?" I don't know anything about plastics. He says, "That's okay. I think this is God. Come and just try it out." And the first within 2 weeks of being there, I landed the biggest corporate account that company had ever had. And we grew from a 20,000 square foot warehouse to 140,000 square foot warehouse in just a couple of years. And so then what I started doing, it seems like I've learned the first time, but it seems like most of us have this same pattern. It's like whatever we think that we're good at and we're starting to see the blessing of the Lord in, it seems like we try to wrap up. Okay, I'm going to say it like this. I'm not going to put my stuff on you. I wanted to wrap up then my identity. Michael, first of all, it's Michael the pastor. Pastor Michael is my identity. And then business starts going crazy. It starts going awesome. I mean, it's just incredible. Just the first 3 months, I made more money than I did the last 12 months combined. And then it just kept going up. And so I just wrapped up my identity. Michael, the businessman. Yes, God has anointed me for business. This is, and I'm just going in it. And then there was the crash of 2012. And then it's like, what's wrong with me? It's like, I'm really good at building stuff and then crashing it. Surely that's not a spiritual gift. Surely that's not how this is supposed to look. Surely this is not it. And then I'm down on the floor again. I'm like, God, what's going on? Well, you said you was going to vindicate me by the blessing on my life, and this don't look like a blessing. And so then he said, let me tell you what your problem is. Every time things start going good in a certain area, you want to wrap up your whole idea. And this is me. I am all or nothing. If I'm in, buddy, I am in. If I'm out, I'm done. I'm out. And everything that I was all in on, I slowly began to wrap up my whole identity in the success of that. But then when it failed, then there's my identity crushed. But the second go around, Holy Spirit said, what I need you to do, you've identified as the pastor, you have identified as this great business guy. I'm like, yeah, I was pretty good at both until I wasn't. He's like, why don't you do this, Michael? Why don't you wrap up your whole identity and just focus on building out your identity in Jesus Christ and nothing else? Because you're going to have success and failures always popping up in your life. But if your identity is wrapped up in those things, you're going to be like this your whole life. But if you'll wrap up your identity in Christ and nothing else than Jesus Christ, the resurrected Jesus Christ, through the ups and downs, you're going to remain consistent. And so that's what I want. I want to be the guy at the end of this road that you look at and say, well, good, faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Now I'm going to make you ruler over many things. We're all living for that moment. If we really look at it, we're living for that moment when he looks at us and says, well done. Because we don't want the alternative, do we? He said, depart, I never knew you. And so the transition that we are in the body of Christ right now, I can define it like this. We're transitioning from going from hearing the voice to turning aside from the normal, from the mundane, from the monotonous, from the status quo. We're turning away. We're transitioning from only hearing to turning and seeing what he is showing and revealing. Because the next thing, the most important thing that you will ever hear from God is what to do next. He said in Hosea 4:6, he says, my people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. Let's reverse engineer this. Knowledge stops destruction. Knowledge stops the destroyer. When we have the knowledge, when we have the revelation, when we have the insight that Holy Spirit is revealing and showing us to walk in, what areas of our life are we seeing destruction in? What areas are we ready to stop the destruction? Do you realize it's knowledge that shuts that down? It's the knowledge of the Lord. It's the mind of Christ. So, a couple of nights ago, it was Monday, yeah, a week ago tomorrow, Pastor Craig and I have talked about this, and he told me, he said, you have more dreams in a week than I have in 4 years. And I do, I'm a dreamer. And my son got me this cool watch, and it's a Garmin watch, and it tracks your heart and all of this, and it tracks your step, tracks everything. And so I wonder about this. I'd like to track my sleep because I'm an intense dreamer. So I'd like to see how this tracks with me on my dreaming schedule. And the first night I put it on, it said that, I instantly go to sleep. I think within like 30 seconds, Heather will testify this, about 30 seconds after I close my eyes, I'm done. Boom. We could be in mid-conversation and she'll look over and I'm like, when I'm done, I'm done. And it showed me my sleep patterns, how instantly I go from awake. There's no transition. It's from awake to dead sleep, just choom, and then into REM sleep. And it showed me on my first night that I did this, that for 4 hours I was in REM sleep, and for like 2 hours I was in a deep sleep, and then 2 hours a light sleep. And evidently that's very abnormal. and so I was noticing that the way my heartbeat goes and all of that. Well, one of those particular nights in that, I was having just an intense dream, and just being in the intensity of the presence of the Lord. And I remember when I woke up, there's many things that took place I'm not going to get into, but when I woke up, I was like, I wonder how my heart was, because that was the most peace I've ever had in an encounter like that. And it's like, and I had a warning on my watch, and it said, warning, your beats per minute got to 18 last night. And I'm like, low, 18. And I was like, huh, that's pretty cool, because I was in heaven last night for a few hours. And my body was like, hey, you need to come on back, boy. I'm trying to hold it together. You need to get back down here. And so I'm trying to figure out a way to take my body with me like Enoch did. I hadn't figured that out yet, but I will. And so on this one particular night, on last Monday night, I'm going to try to close with this, and we'll have some questions and answers, because I know I said a lot of stuff. But in this encounter, I was in heaven, and I was standing beside the Lord Jesus, and there was this white table, and there was this person laying on this table, and it was almost like an operating table. And as I was walking with the Lord Jesus, and I saw, I don't know, just a host of angels and different beings and people that I don't know who are. But I'm not focused on that. I'm focused on Jesus, because it's like, you're here, and it's I want to see you. And I want to see what you're showing me. And we walked up to this table with this person that was on the table. And I noticed the person who was on the table was me. And I thought, wait a minute, how can I be on the table and be right here at the same time? You can do a lot of things that you didn't know that you were aware of. But I saw my chest being opened and surgery being performed. And I saw the Lord Jesus take my heart. And I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm bringing your heart into alignment with mine. It's what you've been asking for, right? And I broke, because I saw in that moment, when you ask the Lord Jesus to do something for you, he didn't have an angel to do it. He didn't have a saint to do it. He didn't have one of the created beings. How personally he is involved when you ask for something. And I melted. And he said this to me. He said, what I do in you is more significant than what I do for you. And I know a lot of times we want him to do things for us without doing things in us that bring us into transformation, into becoming more like him. And we can go through our life, and he'll give us a lot of stuff. He'll do a lot of things for us. But he realized the most important thing and the most significant thing that we could ask for is for him to do things in us. And this inward transformation to where we are coming into alignment with his heart, with his mind. And 1 John 14:17, as he is in this world, so are we. That's our mandate. As he is right now in this world, so are we. And so I'm seeing all of this take place. And how he's just so meticulously working with my heart and puts me back together. And he takes his hands. I know you saw these medical shows where they take the paddles and they boom, and the body goes, and they boom, and the body goes. He took his hands and put on my chest And instantly, it was like there was never any surgery there. But when he put his hands on my chest, my body went... It was so intense. The passion and the fire and the love that he has. The intensity of that just jolted through my body. And I'm just like... on the table. It was so intense that I woke up in the bed like this. And you know what the funniest thing was? When I came back to myself in my bed, I said, we're not done. And I instantly go back into the dream and I'm into heaven. And I asked the Lord Jesus, I said, I definitely got to ask you something. Before I could ask the question, he had the answer. But the question I was going to ask was, that was some involuntary movement on my behalf. And I thought only demons could involuntarily move and animate people's body. And he said, that wasn't involuntary movement. He said, it's exactly what you asked for. You asked me to do it in your heart. You asked me to transform your heart. You asked me to do work inside of your heart. I had your permission to do that because that's what you're praying about all the time. Every time you pray in tongues, you know what you're saying? Father, change my heart. Bring my heart into alignment. Every time you pray in tongues, you're praying, change my heart, transform my heart. I want my heart to be in alignment. It's like, well, I didn't know that's what I was praying, but I agree with that. You realize your spirit will write checks for you that your body will have to cash? When you are praying in the spirit... And the whole thing about this was then I realized this is not just about me. This is about the body. He's asking the body right now, will you cry out for a transformation in your heart so that my body will have my heart? So I realized that it wasn't just me, but it represented, it was what I represented, which is the body of Christ. And how the body of Christ, his greatest desire is to have his body with his heart here, now, on the earth, in alignment. His body in alignment with his heart. Here and now. That's what his desire is. So that's why I say what he's doing in us is more significant today than anything that he could do for us. After the cross, after the resurrection, anything that he does in us is more significant than anything that he does for us. And so, I don't know how much more time I've got. Let me just go into this and I'll stop. So, we've been praying into Romans chapter number 8, verse 19, that all the creation is groaning, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. And so, we want to be the answer to the prayer that all creation is groaning for, which is the sons of God to be manifested here and now. So after that, so we're flying, and I really don't care if you think I'm weird. I mean, I'll fly with Jesus any day, then try to talk to you and convince you of why something is significant. But for those of you who understand where I'm coming from, after that moment, we were just in deep space and was just seeing different planets and really how that all of creation was affected by the fall. And there were like these dark tentacles coming out of uninhabitable planets. And I saw this being of light come through. And all of these tentacles that were surrounding this uninhabitable planet, all of them were just shaved off as this being of light came through. And those tentacles, as they were severed, that planet went back to a original intent, to where it was inhabitable, and so forth. And I saw that, and I asked him, I said, "What is this? Who is this?" He said, "This is what I'm desiring. This is what all of creation is groaning for. What you saw, that being of light, was a manifested Son of God that is..." And here's where I get this definition. A manifested Son of God is one who can take something that is out of order and put it back into order, back into original intent of the will, the purpose, the plan of our Father. Do you realize all of creation is longing, waiting to be delivered? And he said it's the manifested sons of God that do that. It's not just this planet. It's all of creation waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. And the question is are we going to step up, grow up, and show up and be what all creation is groaning for? Or are we just going to keep playing church for another 50 years? How long are we going to be committed to a system that's not working? How long are we going to be committed to a religious order and a system that is not producing manifested sons of God? How long are we going to be committed to something? It's like, if I just do it longer. You know, if you do something wrong for 20 years, if you think if I can do it for another 20 years, it's going to be better. It's not. It's going to be the same. If Jesus is not formed inside of us, if the resurrected Jesus Christ is not formed in us, then we're on the road, the wrong road. If He is not being formed inside of us every day, the purpose of the fivefold ministry, the apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist, is for the perfecting of the saints, is for the equipping of the saints until we all start operating in the full measure of Jesus Christ, right? Are we all operating in the full measure of Christ? If we're not, and we're committed to a system that is not, then we're going to have to say, okay, I'm going to have to reevaluate what trajectory that I'm on. Am I going to be committed to a system that is not working for another 50 years? Some of us don't have 50 more years. I'm not being prophetic. I'm just saying, some of us don't have 50 more years. Some of us don't have 40 more years. What if we find out what His heart is and receive His heart and do that regardless of what religious order or system that it bucks, but to see Christ formed inside of us? And no matter how unpopular we're going to be for going in this direction of pursuing His heart, we want His heart. Amen? All right, I think I'm done. So let's pray, and then we'll have... Do we want to do questions and answer, or do we want to... Or do anything like that? You were the pastor at Grace? You're the pastor at Grace? You're on staff. At Grace. Okay. All right. I do have to take their shoes off. Joshua or Moses and Joshua both had to take off their shoes because they were on holy ground. In the Old Testament, they had to take their shoes off. But then in the New Testament, we're told to put on the shoes in the armor of God. So Old Covenant, got to take them off. New Covenant, got to put the shoes on. There are some things that have already been taken off, obviously. But now it's time to put some things on. And the shoes represented the preparation of the gospel of peace. He had said, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. He said in Mark 11:23-24, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you'll receive them and you'll have them. When everybody was prophesying over you earlier, I heard the Lord say, write down the things that you're desiring to take place. What is the desired outcome that you are seeking? Write that down. This is what I desire. According to Mark 11:22-24, I'm praying my desire. This is what I desire. I'm writing it down. The very moment that you write that desire down, according to Ephesians 5, it becomes a petition. And as you write that down and you bring that before the Lord, you're going to see the things that you're desiring to take place, but you need to be able to articulate exactly what you're desiring to see take place in this move. And if you'll write it down, it'll turn into a petition and it'll be done. Okay. Wow. Can I give a few more words? Okay. You already ate lunch. Good. Mike, I've been holding on to a word for you for about, I don't know, since probably 6 or 7 months. And I'm like, okay, as soon as I see Mike, then I'm going to give this word. There's been tons of songs that, or there's been songs that you have, that you've written. I mean, you're definitely you're a skilled musician, you're a psalmist. And, there's these songs that the Lord has put inside of your heart that you've written out and you've been faithful with those songs. But I heard the Lord say this next time frame that this, which is now. Let me say it like it's now. Now, from this day forward. He's going to take that foundation that He has first put inside of you. And He's going to take that foundation and He's going to elevate the low places, and He's going to bring down the high places. He's going to make the crooked path straight, working out some of these details. But right now, He's bringing you into the awareness of this next season of songs, or this next transitional period of songs. So what I'm saying is this: there's going to be just more new songs that are coming, that your best days of songwriting and leading worship, those are not over. It's not time to retire. It's time to refire. And so He's going to refire, rekindle that flame and that passion. But there's just so many more songs that are going to be written from you and are going to be sung from you that are just going to be so transformative and so a part of what He's doing in this region and in this city. And it's just so important. And I told Pastor Craig what I saw when I was driving to South Carolina. I was doing some business somewhere, and on the road, the Lord spoke to me. Holy Spirit said, pull up Don Potter. And I'm like, okay. So I pulled him up. I'm like, man, I'm not listening to him in 20 years. And I started listening to it and starting to get into this groove. And he spoke to me and said, that you were Craig's Don Potter. And I'm like, okay. All right. So look, if you got a problem with that, you got to take that with Daddy. But I'm just sharing this, but I'm telling you the level. Dan, what was that? You like him? He's influenced your life?
Oh, yes.
Okay. So It's not that you have his anointing, because I don't believe you can get somebody else's anointing. I believe there's one anointing, and that's the anointing of Jesus Christ. And we don't want Elijah's anointing, and we don't want whoever's in it. We want Jesus, and we want what he has for us in this time. But what I can compare it to is like that. Just so freeing and so, I call it when me and Heather driving down the road, my hippie praise and worship. And it's just like this era of music, this Jesus people type music that brings just so much freedom and so much liberty. And that's still yet to come out of you. The best is still yet to come out of you. There's still songs of freedom, songs of liberty. That's just going to be so freeing to a hippie, unconnected, unchurched generation people who know nothing, who don't have this connection. You're going to be part of this music revolution that's just going to bring such transformation in that area. And there's still so much fire in you, and there's still so much passion in you, and you just turn into it. You go up in it, and you turn into it, and you just see what the Lord does, because I'm telling you, it's going to start happening so fast, it's going to blow your mind. Was you a hippie in the 70s? I told Heather, I said, I was born out of my time, because, I mean, I was born in the 70s, but if I was a teenager in the 70s, I would have been the best hippie ever. I would have been right in the Jesus people movement. I would have been all up in that, you know. But I just think it's that level of freedom and that free-spiritedness of the hippies and so forth, that I think in the middle of all of the pressure to conform and perform and all of this, that they just buck the system. I'm telling you, this is the generation that God's raising up that's going to buck that system again and actually break that system. Amen. All right, I'm going to stop there.
He's probably 90% of the time for comments or questions afterwards. So we don't want preaching. We want like a question or a 15-second comment. But if you have a comment or a question for Michael while he's here, I will come with you for the microphone. You go, well, I can speak loud enough, but we're recording this, so there's just not moments of silence on the message. And so who wants, who's got something? Just ask. And if you're up thinking it, probably two or three other people are thinking it. Oh, great.
So for people that are new to this walking in the Spirit, and you said that you can learn things in the Spirit that'll take you a lifetime here, we're wanting to, obviously you're talking about, a lot of us don't have 50, 60 years, you know, and we want to do that, but meeting in church once a week is not going to cut it. You know, like, how do you grow up into that? How do you, what resources, what things do you to be able to learn? Like, how do you, the steps of how to get to that point where you're, you know, doing that? Like, I know it's just out of being, but again, I know there's also, you know, training prophecy and the other gifts and stuff. So.
Yes. I think, you know, like what we've been doing at Northwest since January on Wednesday nights, just been laying foundational roots for what it looks like to walk in the Spirit. And even one of our in-house prophets, we were talking, and I said, I'm looking forward to the day to where we can experience corporately what I experience privately, the level of the presence and awareness of the presence of the Lord. Wednesday night was that. After 45 minutes of in our prayer time and meditation, man, I tried to get up three times and I could not literally get off the ground. It's just the intensity of the presence of the Lord. First of all, it starts with desire. Because everything transitions from desire. we've got to have a desire. Those that hunger and thirst after righteousness will be filled. So we have to have a desire to learn. Next, we do what Scripture says. Three times in the book of Hebrews, Paul tells us to visualize Jesus and to see Jesus. One time he says, see Jesus as our high priest and boldly come before the throne of grace to receive mercy, to find favor in our time of need. One of the big things now is visualization. And from what I hear, it is a new age term. One of our brothers at church sent me a talk from Tony Robbins, I think is his name, a couple of months ago. And he's like, listen to this guy. He's like one of the leading motivational speakers in the world right now. Listen to it. It's an hour and a half. Tell me what you think. And I was like, okay, I'll listen to it. Now, first of all, I'm not saying everybody needs to go out and listen to him. I'm just saying, because brother can use some very colorful language. It's not churchy language. But 95% of what he's teaching is biblical principles right out of the book. He's not saying Bible verses and stuff like that, but he's pulling out biblical principles. And here's what it is. If the church, if the body of Christ is not going to operate in these spiritual laws and spiritual principles, he will raise up worldly people who will take these and run with them. And people wonder why witches and warlocks and occultic people see demons and angels more than Christians do. It's because they value seeing in the Spirit, and they honor seeing in the Spirit. And what you honor is multiplied into your life. So if you honor walking in the Spirit, you honor the pathway of learning to do this, which Hebrews teaches us. It starts with visualization. It starts in Genesis with the Tower of Babel. God says nothing is going to be restrained from them what they have imagined to do. What do you imagine doing when nobody's around you? Do you imagine walking with Jesus? If he says to a group of pagans, nothing will be refrained from them that they've imagined to do, how much more is the power of the godly imagination that is sanctified by the blood of Jesus? We are in covenant with him. How much more powerful is the imagination of a believer? So it starts with our godly imagination. And many people, when they say, talk about seeing in the Spirit and walking in the Spirit, and different seers that I have talked to have this same problem in training, is that when you're training people to do this, is the first thing everybody wants to do is to see with their eyeballs. But in the Spirit, you see with your ears, you see with your nose, you see with your mouth, you see with every fiber of your being. It's not just seeing with your eyes. And that's why we go into these sessions and many people come out and like, I didn't see nothing. Okay, well, what did you sense? Oh, I sensed the presence of the Lord. What did you smell? Oh, I smelled this. And well, what? you know. But see, as we begin to honor the Lord and begin to take these steps of desire to walk in the realm of the Spirit with the Lord Jesus, then that begins to open more and more and more until it becomes just an everyday lifestyle. But it starts with visualization. It starts with the godly imagination. Taking what Scripture says about heaven, Revelation chapter number 4, Revelation 19, Revelation 22, Isaiah chapter number 4, Ezekiel chapter number 1. These Scriptures that are very descriptive about heaven, and you begin to use the Word of God that is describing heaven until it paints a picture inside of your mind that you begin to walk in to.
It's So while you're thinking of your next question, so they meet at 11 on Sundays if you want to hear more, and then 7 p.m. on Wednesdays. I love, since we moved to Sunday night, about a month ago, I was at Worship Center at Westside on Sunday morning, and the church over here. He's over here on Sunday night. He had his church on Sunday morning. It just works for us to co-mingle, learn from, because we're not an 8,000-member church, obviously, to learn from so many different people. And you can just move. And so I encourage you to go on a Sunday morning, Wednesday night. Next question. Comment. No, sorry.
I'm just going to bolster what Michael said, and it is this. This is something that infuriates me to no end. Whereas we'll see regular old secular folk applying biblical principles and walking in a level of authority and power that we are zealous for. And an example of this is I'm going to change this guy's name. I had a neighbor named Billy. Billy, for all intents and purposes, sorry, this is being recorded, lived like hell. He was carnal. He had a woman in every other night. He drank all the time. He partied all the time. He was a successful businessman. And shorten the story, his neighbors down the street, who happened to be of Latino descent, were broken into, and the thieves broke the front door down and took all the Christmas presents that the mama and dad had bought for those children. So Billy sent his construction team down to that house against the wishes of all his friends. He says, "What are you doing?" He said, no, I'm not going to miss this opportunity. The pagan now. He said, go down there, repair their door, repair their house, and then give them this amount of money and buy those children their Christmas back. Doesn't know them from anybody. And all of his friends are like, Billy, you don't need to do that. You don't know who you're giving that money to, da-da-da-da-da. And Billy said, no, I'm not going to miss this opportunity. Now, Billy didn't do that because he wanted something back. But a couple months later, an aunt that he didn't know he had passed away and left him $10,000. Does that offend you, Christian? Or is it because the secular world is more than happy to take what you don't want? That's what blows my mind. They're more than happy to apply the principles, because God's spiritual laws work for everybody. Imagine what God can do to the redeemed mind.
They're supposed to work better for us.
They're supposed to work better for us.
Yeah.
You see some of the hesitancy. That Michael is one of these guys. I won't go to blows for a lot of guys. I might go to blows for Michael.
I like that, might. Definitely.
All right? So think about that. And don't be offended by what he teaches.
All right. Let's close in prayer. If you'll just stand. I think I gave you all enough opportunity to ask your questions. We're just going to do a quick prayer, and I'm going to ask him to pray it. So you don't have to pray this, but somewhere. Let's transition from hearing to seeing.